collaborative.
Experimentation.
The next idea.
We need a participation revolution, and we need it fast.
The vote deciding the fate of Michigan's road funding Proposal 1 happens 1 week from tomorrow, May 5th. Right from the beginning, one of the consistent complaints from all corners of Michigan has been, why didn't the legislature just do its job? Why didn't it approve a plan to pay for badly needed road repairs? Our latest contributor to The Next Idea has an answer for this question. He thinks we might not like it very much, but here it is. Let's find out. Eric Lufer is here. He's president of Citizens Research Council of Michigan. Good to have you with us, Eric.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, we have heard that question. Why did lawmakers dump the road funding question in voters' laps instead of doing the job we voters expect them to do? What do you think the answer to that is?
The answer to that is that as long as they were trying to make sure that all the revenues from the gas taxes were going to transportation, they didn't have a choice. We've tied their hands many years ago to limit the rate of the sales tax and to tie where those sales tax revenues are going to. We put it into the Constitution, and the only way to do that is to have another constitutional amendment. The only way to amend the Constitution is to have a vote of the people. So once they adopted that as a goal, they were going to come to us. And they didn't have a choice because we made it so, we the people.
In fact, in your essay, you say the answer has a lot to do with our long history in Michigan of distrust of elected officials. Where did that begin, do you think, and what's it led us to?
You know, it's hard to identify. We've always had distrust of government. That's kind of the Bill of Rights. It's you know, distrust of the king, everything that kind of led us to where we are now. What makes America great, that we're allowed to distrust our government. But somewhere it went beyond just we need the right to bear arms and we have the right freedom of speech to I don't trust that you're going to do the things I want you to do, so I'm going to make you do that by putting these things into the Constitution that you have to spend the money this way and you can't raise taxes above a certain level and money put into this pot can only be done for certain things. Kind of mid-century, I think, right around the Great Depression is when we really see it start coming into our Constitution, but it just kind of has escalated that once you did the first thing, that led to the second thing, and it becomes just compounding, I think, and gets worse and worse.
Now, as you say, we've got a long history in this country of distrust of public officials, but what do you think is it about Michigan that sets it apart and it's worse here than in other states?
Well, we have far more earmarking in our Constitution of revenues to certain purposes, more than you see in almost any other state. And our Constitution is growing longer and longer and longer. Things that could be done statutorily, we're putting that into the Constitution, and we're doing it in a very specific way. So it's not just saying, we want this to be done this way. It is spelling it out in fine, fine detail that makes our Constitution almost unreadable because it's becoming so long.
Well, in your essay, you argue that this habit of earmarking funds has really hurt the ability of our elected officials to address problems as they arrive, so they can't be nimble. And in the case of road funding, for example, in order to increase it, as you say, the legislature has to make separate law changes to maintain the earmarked funding levels for service totally unrelated to roads. Will you break down more in detail how that works for us?
So the Constitution says that the sales tax revenues have to be used for the school aid fund and for state revenue sharing. The goal is to have every tax dollar that comes from a gas tax be used for transportation. So you have a conflict there. The only way to undo that is to amend the Constitution. To hold a statewide vote to amend the Constitution is a $10 million bill. So think about how much roads could get fixed for $10 million. Plus, now we're going to the special interest and saying, we need you to help your help to campaign for this, to run these TV ads and to put things in the newspapers, to do things so people understand this issue. That's costing money that could otherwise be used fruitfully in our economy.
And both sides, the yes and the no.
Yes and no. And that happens every time. But what it's doing each time, it's creating more and more distrust. It's escalating the level of distrust. So why didn't they do it themselves? Why are they asking us to do it? Why are these special interests? What's in it for them? Why are they spending money on this? Who's beholden to who? And it's just escalating the level of distrust. even though it's meant to create more trust, that the money's going to be used the way you want it to be used, but the way it gets handled creates more and more distrust.
As if kind of the well's been poisoned.
Yes, and it ripples out further and further from where that drop landed originally.
How do you think a healthier, better state government would function? What would that look like?
A governmental entity that didn't have this level of distrust, we would raise the amount of taxes we needed. It would all go into a pot, and the legislature, the governing body, would say, this is how much we need for schools, and this is how much we need for roads, and this is how much we need for police, and just go through and divide the money up. And we kind of know from history that it would be done in a very incremental way, that we would look that the schools got X amount last year, and this year they'll get X amount plus 5% or something like that.
Or X amount minus 5%.
Or minus, depending on the economic conditions. But all the money would be available to be distributed. Instead, in Michigan, only about a third of the money is available to be used that way. The other two-thirds is already tied up where it's going before the legislature meets on the first day and tries to figure out how this system works. The money's all spoken for. So when you go through the decade like we've just gone through in Michigan where things are really tight, they have only a third of the money to try to decide what to do with. And when you're trying to cut, when you're trying to manage down, there's less and less ability to do so because their hands are already tied for two-thirds of the revenues. No controlling where that's going. It's already spoken for.
Have we gone too far down the road, do you think, to change directions and kind of create this healthier governmental environment that you describe?
Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe they were saying this same thing in the early 1800s, and eventually President Jackson came in and changed the way we think about government. So maybe there's one of these sorts of events in our near future that we just don't know of or can't foresee. But I think you're right. I think it's gone so far that the people just aren't willing to trust. They're not willing to let that idea germinate that this is something that we should change and that we should think about things different. We've gone out a lot talking to the different people, trying to educate people on this ballot issue, and some of the people are really mad.
Mm-hmm. They're
there to get the information, but then when it's their turn to ask questions, they want to vent. They want to say, what's wrong with government? And they want to say how much they distrust this question that's before them. And whether it's a good idea or bad, they've come in with the mindset that if it's before us, it must be bad, and I'm not going to have any part of it.
So what do you think is the larger lesson that we need to draw from this whole Proposal 1 journey and the way we've addressed the need to fix roads and find money to do it?
The big issue, I think, is that the legislature really needs to identify what the greatest needs of the state are and pay attention to that. And even though there might be earmarking or dedication of revenues, if the needs are there, they need to address them and not assume that autopilot's going to get them there. That's not going to happen. And so it's kind of as a catch-22 that I see, that we've gone for so long underfunding our road agencies. They've done a poor job taking care of the roads. And now when we're asking more money for roads, the people are saying, they did such a poor job, why would I give them more money? So we have to get it right somewhere along the line to say, these are our highest priorities. That's where we're going to put the funding. And then when we come to the people, they'll say, well, you're trying your best. And it's obvious that more funds are necessary. There needs to be more open government. We have the Sunshine Acts and things like that, and we're fighting over Open Meetings Acts and Freedom of Information. We have to get that right. That's going to create more trust in government. But it's going to take a whole sea change, I think, to really turn this around.
Well, you've laid down quite a gauntlet on the table with your essay, Eric Lufer, President of Citizens Research Council of Michigan. You'll find Eric's essay on the Next Idea page at michiganradio.org. And, of course, we always welcome your comments and suggestions. Thank you so much, Eric.
Thank you for having me.